did not.
Did too.
Did not.
Did too.
Get out.
What on earth was that?
Probably just a house settling.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that put on the new Bonnie Raitt album and somehow got a Sex and the City sequel. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Drew Parkenbark Bonner.
My bark is loud, but it's nothing compared to my bite.
Ross Rowdy Roddy Bratton.
I've come here to chew bubblegum and win trivia, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
And Amy White Lightning Warnock.
You've called out the thunder. Now get ready for the boom.
Thank you for joining us today for the first elimination match in our Monster Division here in the seventh season of the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Here today to help us keep score and make sure everything's running smoothly is our friend Score Master Dan, here as always. Dan, how is it going?
You know, Taylor, I'm actually a little bit off today. I made the mistake of reading my Rate My Professor ratings, and one of the comments just said, quote, "What's up with his eye?" unquote. Is there something up with my eye? Taylor, you have to tell me if something's up with my eye.
Twisting the knobs, working the ones and zeros. It's Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Do you ever just get down on your knees and thank God that you know me and have access to my dementia?
Literally every day of the week. Thank you, Dave. Well, that means it's time to start our first game of the day, a round of My Champion. This is a game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. The catch? We pick the battle those champions are fighting. Band nerd and struggling academic Drew Bonner, who is your champion today?
Today, my champion is Abed Nadir from the TV show Community.
Also with us today is Jonah Hill lookalike Ross Bratton. Ross, who is your champion?
My champion is Special Agent Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks.
And our third player is noted BuzzFeed quiz aficionado Amy Warnock. Amy, who is your champion?
My champion is Elle Woods from Legally Blonde.
All right, three champions are all locked in, so that means it's time to spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who's going to get me photos of Spider-Man? Drew, why is Abed from Community going to get me photos of Spider-Man?
So Abed has a special ability in that he is kind of socially, he just blends into the background. And so he'll be able to get into places where Spider-Man is and without Spider-Man even knowing, because he can just be there and not even be noticed. And he's also super pop culturally obsessed. And so, you know, he dressed up as Batman for Halloween. He loves comic books. He loves movies and TVs. And so he can get in there, find wherever Spider-Man's fighting crime and get in there and take some photos.
Thank you, Drew. All right, Ross, why is Dale Cooper going to get me photos of Spider-Man?
Well, Special Agent Dale Cooper does have more than likely surveillance training, thanks to being part of the FBI. So he would have an ability to kind of know exactly where to put cameras, where they wouldn't be seen. Spider-Man wouldn't necessarily know. Also has experience with very odd and unusual things that he's had to experience, especially within the town of Twin Peaks. So he won't suddenly get awestruck or confused when Spider-Man starts doing things that most normal people probably haven't seen.
Thank you, Ross. And Amy, how about Elle Woods? Why is she going to get me pictures of Spider-Man?
Elle Woods is a true Renaissance woman. She can do anything she puts her mind to. Plus, she's super hot. So all she's got to do is toss on that sequin bikini and play the damsel in distress card. And while he's distracted by her awesome sequins, she can snap a photo.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Three very solid arguments, but it's ultimately up to Scoremaster Dan to determine today's My Champion winner. Dan, who's it going to be?
All right. So I think I'm going to throw out Dale Cooper just because, yes, he does his surveillance training. But as far as you can tell from Twin Peaks, he is a terrible FBI agent. Like, he doesn't solve mysteries very well at all. He's using this whole holistic detective thing. It's not going to work out. I think also he's very much cited for a rural environment rather than an urban environment where Spider-Man's going to be operating. So we're down to Drew and Abed versus Amy and Elle Woods. So Abed, yeah, he's going to be able to sneak around, right? But the question is, does he know anything about photography? How is he going to know where Spider-Man's going to be? He's going to sneak around following people. I don't know. I got to say, I think Elle Woods, I think Amy put out a very reasonable scenario. You know, Spider-Man's always rescuing damsels in distress. I think it's probably fine. She puts on a sequin bikini and walks around New York City for a little while, there's going to be some problems. Spider-Man's going to come in and save her. I think our winner today has to be Amy and Elle Woods.
Woohoo!
Congratulations, Amy. You have won my champion, which means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors. Here is the half point question. In live-action movies, J. Jonah Jameson has been played repeatedly by J.K. Simmons. But in the 1990s animated series, he was voiced by this Emmy winner, who previously played a news director and editor on both a sitcom and a drama.
Oh, boy. Who has played a news guy? Oh, I don't know. Pass.
In this case, the previous voice of J. Jonah Jameson was Ed Asner, who also played a news guy on Mary Tyler Moore Show and Lou Grant. Well, Amy, you didn't get the half point, but you'll still get to go first in round one. Not a word about Bruno. Sure, the characters in Encanto don't talk about Bruno because of his often dark prophecies, but we often have a good reason not to talk about something in pop culture. In this game, we'll give you the reasons why we're not talking about a particular character or property with a two-syllable name that ends in O. You have to name the thing we don't talk about. For instance, if I told you we're not talking about this character because we think the whole conceit of a Native American sidekick is problematic, and that was before Johnny Depp played him, you'd know that we don't talk about...
Tonto.
Yes, we don't talk about Tonto. Now, if you need some more help, we can tell you a little bit about the character or property in question, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. We'll start this round with Amy. We know that little kids love this character, but his voice is just too squeaky for us, and we can't get behind anyone talking about themselves in the third person.
Give me a sec. It'll be there. Can I get a hint?
It's a kid's character with a solo talk show since 2020.
All right, solo talk show, 2020. Oh, pass. I have no idea.
In this case, we don't talk about Elmo. All right, next one is for Ross. Sure, this movie seems all down home and gentle humor until someone gets fed into a wood chipper.
Is that we don't talk about Fargo?
For 10 points. Over to Drew. The exploits of this masked pulp character raise a lot of questions about Spanish colonialism if you think about it too much.
Spanish colonialism. Can I get a hint?
Sure. A character played by Antonio Banderas and Tyrone Power, among others.
Is that Zorro? We don't talk about Zorro?
Yes, we don't talk about Zorro. Next up to Amy. This movie has an amazing cast, and we do love J.K. Simmons, but we can't bear thinking about that bittersweet ending or what a creep Jason Bateman's character turned out to be.
We don't talk about Juno.
Very good. Next to Ross. We learned the nations of the world by listening to this character's song, but now they're outdated and we still can't get it out of our head.
Ooh, song about nations around the world. I'm going to need a hint.
A character from a 1993 cartoon revived in 2020.
I believe it's We Don't Talk About Wacko?
Yakko had the nations of the world. Wacko had the American capitals song.
Ah, confusing all the geography songs.
Next up to Drew. Everyone loves Miyazaki movies, but when this title character abandons her parents to live on land, it's pretty upsetting.
I am not a Miyazaki aficionado. can I get a hint?
It's a 2009 movie inspired by The Little Mermaid.
Pass. I don't know.
In this case, this is going to be We Don't Talk About Ponyo, the Miyazaki Little Mermaid adaptation, Ponyo. Next up, back to Amy. This franchised clown character has a really creepy laugh, so we've been trying to get him out of our minds for years.
Creepy clown laugh? Oh, I'll... All I can think is Pennywise, but that's obviously not it. Can I get the hint?
a franchise character billed as the world's most famous clown since the 1940s.
Oh, is it We Don't Talk About Bozo?
Correct. We Don't Talk About Bozo. Next up, over to Ross. We used to love shooting aliens on a ring in this sci-fi game franchise, but now we're a little concerned about the militaristic themes. It's a little too Starship Troopers for 2022, you know?
All right. Video game, shooting aliens on a ring. Oh, I'm gonna need a hint.
It's a video game franchise that started in 2001 with a recent TV adaptation.
Okay, so there's a recent TV adaptation, so I believe it's We Don't Talk About Halo.
Correct. We Don't Talk About Halo. Next up, back to Drew. This Walt Kelly comic strip character is real cute, but opossums just give us the willies.
Comic strip character. Possums.
If you get this, I'm going to drive to your house and give you $10.
High stakes now.
Yeah. Can I get a hint?
It's the title character in a seminal comic strip that ran from 1948 to 1975.
Oh, my. I don't know. Pass.
This is We Don't Talk About Pogo. It's a real Dan Casino question right there.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to take us into our first score break from the aforementioned Score Master Dan.
Boy, you know, Taylor, we have met the enemy, and they is you, apparently. Amy and Ross are tied for lead. They have 15 points each. Drew is trailing. He's got 5 points.
All right, let's see if we can keep it rolling. This one is for Amy. We loved this character in the books, but now all we can picture is that one moment at the start of the movie where he looks like some kind of crazed goblin for a second. Way too creepy.
Can I get the hint?
A character played by Ian Holm and Martin Freeman.
Oh, We Don't Talk About Bilbo.
Correct for 5. Next up, back to Ross. The mother getting dragged away and chained up for trying to help her cute little kid in this movie just brings up too many emotions.
A mother being dragged away trying to help a kid in a movie. I'm going to need a hint.
A 1941 movie remade in 2019.
That would be We Don't Talk About Dumbo.
Correct for 5. Back to Drew. We'll discuss the black and white original of this movie all day, but the 90s remake with Anne Heche? No thank you.
Can I get a hint?
A 1960 movie remade in 1998.
I don't know. Pass.
This is We Don't Talk About Psycho. Thanks, Gus Van Sant. And over to Amy. We normally love the works of both Joe Don Baker and Michael Crichton, but the ape effects in this movie are a little cringy.
What's that? Oh, it's not. Can I get the hint?
It's a 1995 Laura Linney movie.
We Don't Talk About... Nope, Laura Linney. She's not coming. I'll pass.
This is We Don't Talk About Congo. Next up to Ross. Just thinking about his amazingly drawn adventures in Slumberland makes us pine for the golden era of newspaper comic strips.
Is that We Don't Talk About Nemo?
Little Nemo himself, yes, for 10 points. And we'll close out round one with Drew. This movie's perfectly fine, but unless you really like Georges Méliès, none of us have talked about it in quite some time.
I have no idea who that is. Can I get a hint?
It's a 2011 Martin Scorsese film.
I'm not going to be able to... I'm not going to be past. I don't know.
This is We Don't Talk About Hugo. We Don't Talk About Hugo. Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to round two. Hey, listeners. Taylor here to tell you about what's going on this week on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Patreon. This Friday morning, our silver and gold level donors will get a special empty studio bonus game delivered to their feeds. This week, it's called The Billboard on the Castle. We all know the success of Encanto's We Don't Talk About Bruno, so this Friday, our patrons will get a bonus game all about the Billboard chart successes and failures of Disney songs, breaking out of that Disney realm into the pop charts. Catch that and dozens of other past Empty Studio games at usaquizshow.com/membership. Hope to see you there.
You know, Taylor, in that last round, I was all set to record people some style points if they had sung their answers, but nobody did, so no extra style points for that. That means going into round two, it's time for the Project 863 score break, the score break that's better than anything Netflix puts out. Boy, I don't know what in the world that means. All right. Right now, Ross is in the lead with 30 points. Amy's close behind with 20. Drew is trailing with 5 points, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
It also means Drew could make up some ground or potentially take the lead with the Threequalizer. Drew, I'm going to ask you a question that has 3 possible answers. You're going to have 3 guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Your Threequalizer question is, we all know that MASH has the most watched series finale in U.S. television history. But what are the next 3 most watched finales? One aired in 1993, one in 1998, and one in 2004.
Okay. I'm going to guess Friends. Mork and Mindy. I'm not sure. Breaking Bad.
In this case, you got 10 points for knowing Friends, airing in 2004. The other two were Cheers in 1993 and the 1998 series finale of Seinfeld. So speaking of Seinfeld, that'll take us into round 2, entitled Jerry Seinfeld is a Bad Boyfriend. On the sitcom Seinfeld, the character Jerry paid very little attention to the women he was involved with on the show. As it turns out, many of the women he dated, or at least the actresses playing them, had really interesting backstories, or went on to do cool things that Jerry was far too self-centered to ever find out about. In this game, we'll tell you what Jerry might have learned about an actress he dated on Seinfeld in the form of a past or future role she had in a different TV show or movie. You have to name the property. So, if we told you that after she dated Jerry, she went on to found a successful interior design business despite her physical comedy antics, you'd know the actress went on to be in
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace, because Deborah Messing, star of Will and Grace, played one of Jerry's girlfriends. That answer would get you 20 points. If you're not sure, we can tell you the name of the actress and the year of the property, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. After that, then you'll have a chance to earn another 10 points with a related follow-up trivia question. Let's start round 2 with Drew. If they talked about their pasts, she could have told Jerry about her work in an advertising firm out west, or that time she got drunk, hit her head, and fell into the pool of an apartment complex. What property did that Jerry Seinfeld's girlfriend actress also star in?
Can I get a hint?
Kristen Davis in a 1992 TV series.
Oh, man. I'm not sure. Pass.
This is going to be Melrose Place. Notoriously one of Jerry's favorite shows. I have no idea how he didn't know that his girlfriend was on it. Still for Drew, though, Kristen Davis was on the Seinfeld episode The Pothole. Andrew Davis directed the 2003 movie Holes, which starred what actor as Stanley Yelnats?
Oh, God, I haven't seen that movie since middle school. Is it... oh, what is his name? Oh, I can't remember. He's like the...
Amy?
Shia LaBeouf.
I can only think of him going, do it, just do it.
Yep, that's him.
Yeah.
All right, over to Amy for the next alternate role of a Seinfeld girlfriend. She posed as Jerry's wife to get a dry cleaning discount, which makes sense as she went on to be a tough-as-nails TV reporter who had no problem lying or putting teens in danger to get a story. what movie starred that actress who played a Seinfeld girlfriend?
Can I get the hint?
Starring Courtney Cox in a 1996 movie.
Oh, it's Scream.
Correct for 10, the whole Scream franchise. Courtney Cox was in an episode called The Wife, who got an Oscar nomination for playing the titular wife in the 2018 movie The Wife.
The Wife. Let's toss it out and say Helen Mirren.
Ross knows this one.
It is Glenn Close.
Yes. Golden Globe win, but not an Oscar win for The Wife. Next one is for Ross. She might have dated a celebrity after breaking up with Jerry because of his gross contest, but that was all before she found work as a physical therapist in the Pacific Northwest. What property stars that actress?
That would be Frasier.
Yes, Jane Leaves on Frasier. Jane Leaves was in the Seinfeld episode The Virgin. In The 40-Year-Old Virgin, what singer's name does Steve Carell's character cry out when he's getting his chest waxed?
There's two that I'm thinking of, but I believe it's Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson for another 10. Well done, Ross. Next up, back to Drew. It's understandable that Jerry didn't really want to listen to her go on about that time at Liberty High with Angela and Ricky. What property stars that Seinfeld girlfriend?
Liberty High with Angela and Ricky. Can I get a hint?
Starring AJ Langer on a 1994 TV series.
I don't know this pass.
That series is My So-Called Life. Drew, AJ Langer was on an episode called The Fatigues. Director James McTeague went from being the assistant director on The Matrix to the director of what Wachowski-written comic book adaptation?
Is that, no. No, I don't know. Pass.
In this case, James McTeague is the director of V for Vendetta. Though how much of it he really directed is sometimes debated in certain circles. Next up to Amy. Eventually, she moved out west, where she worked as an agent for a dumb but sweet actor who moved there from New York. What property stars that Seinfeld girlfriend?
Is it Sex in the City?
Eventually, this is going to be the show that takes place out west. That is Jennifer Coolidge for her role on Joey, the Friends spinoff. Amy, Jennifer Coolidge was in the Seinfeld episode The Masseuse. What Oscar-winning 1994 movie features a debate about foot massages?
Oh, God. I hate feet, so this is just terrible for me.
I'm just going to let you know at the end of the show is going to be you yelling, I hate feet!
Perfect. A debate about foot massages?
An Oscar-winning 1994 movie.
1994, pass.
This is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, if something to do with feet, it's got to be Quentin Tarantino.
We should have known.
Next up to Ross. When the apocalypse the Mayans predicted actually came to pass, I bet Jerry wished he had stuck more closely to her. What property stars this Seinfeld girlfriend?
I believe that would be 2012.
Yes, Roland Emmerich's 2009 disaster movie starring Amanda Peet from Seinfeld. Ross, Amanda Peet was in the Seinfeld episode The Summer of George. Who directed the 1999 movie Summer of Sam?
That would be Spike Lee.
Correct for another 10. Next up, back to Drew. She and Jerry maybe had too much in common, but I can't imagine Jerry also had such wacky hijinks in a New England summer camp.
Is that Dirty Dancing?
In this case, no. We're talking about Janine Garofalo in Wet Hot American Summer. For Drew, Janine Garofalo was in an episode called The Invitations. What 2008 movie has Amanda Seyfried inviting three of her mother's old flings to her wedding?
That's Mamma Mia.
Correct for 10. Next up to Amy. Jerry didn't have much respect for her work as a dermatologist, Do you think he would have liked her better if he had known she went on to be a family practice physician in Colorado? What property stars that Seinfeld girlfriend?
Can I get the hint?
Starring Marcia Cross on a 2002 TV series.
Oh, God. Marcia Cross. I'll go with... ER.
Like that physician guest, ER in Chicago, but the doctor in Colorado was Everwood, with her and Treat Williams. Amy, Marcia Cross was in a Seinfeld episode called The Slicer. What comedian talked about a tool that wasn't a slicer or a dicer, but the Sledge-O-Matic?
The Sledge-O-Matic. I'll go with Jim Gaffigan.
This comedian was using that Sledge-O-Matic on watermelons and the like. That is Gallagher. Over to Ross. If he had spent more time listening to her, rather than speculating about her physical features, Jerry might have learned something from her stories about her time spent with a crime-fighting engineer.
Crime-fighting engineer. Whew. I'm going to need a hint on this one.
Starring Terry Hatcher in a 1985 TV series.
1985 TV series. I'm going to go... I have no idea, but I'm going to just take a guess at The Greatest American Hero.
What crime fighter's always engineering things? That's MacGyver.
Taylor, I'm going to have to ask you to say that properly, please.
What crime fighter's always engineering things? That's MacGyver. Starring Terry Hatcher, who was on a Seinfeld episode. That episode was called The Implant. What 1990 movie has a character being told that he's strapped to an implant chair and we're monitoring you from a psychic probe console?
Wow. That's a lot going on there. It's 1990. I'm going to... Probe monitor. I'm going to say Total Recall.
Correct for 10. Nice pull, Ross. And that'll take us into our next score update from Score Master Dan.
Ross has had some fantastic answers. He is pulling away here in round 2. He currently has lead with 100 points. Amy's behind with 30, and Drew is bringing up the rear. He's got 25.
All right, see if Drew and Amy can pick up some ground. Anything could still happen. Plenty of game to go. This next alternate role of a Jerry Seinfeld girlfriend is for Drew. Speed dial rankings would have been the least of Jerry's worries if he'd been forced to contend with the whole Braverman family out in California.
Oh, the Braverman family. California. Can I get a hint?
This 2010 TV series stars Lauren Graham.
Oh, I could picture it.
In this case, that is the Lauren Graham series Parenthood, where she is Sarah Braverman. Drew, Lauren Graham was in the Seinfeld episode The Millennium. What The Blacklist actor starred in the TV show Millennium?
Is that James Spader?
In this case, that is Lance Henriksen, starring on Millennium, the X-Files adjacent show. Next to Amy. Jerry was upset that she plagiarized a letter from a Neil Simon play, but he'd be much more upset if he found out what she got up to with that secretive order of the Coagula.
Can I get the hint, please?
It's Catherine Keener in a 2017 movie.
Coagula, blood, I'm going vampires, nope, I don't have it. Twilight.
Get out.
That is indeed Get Out with the secret order of the Coagula. Catherine Keener from Get Out is in the Seinfeld episode The Letter. The TV show Letter Kenny is set in what Canadian province?
I believe, oh God, and I love Letter Kenny. Is it...
1 in 10 chance.
Oh, God. And now I'm like, province versus city. I'm going to look like such a dodo. Is it Ontario?
10 points for Ontario. Oh, thank goodness. The setting of Letterkenny. All right, next up to Ross. While dating her, Jerry was mostly thinking about his chest hair, but she went on to marry very well, run a magazine, and get into all sorts of soapy shenanigans out in California.
Running a magazine out in California. I'm going to need a hint on this one.
Melinda Clark on a 2003 TV series.
I'm just going to take a guess of a show that I know that was about a magazine, and that's Just Shoot Me.
In this case, this is The O.C. starring Melinda Clark. Ross, Melinda Clark is in the Seinfeld episode called The Muffin Tops. On 30 Rock, what character sings a song called Muffin Top?
Oh, my Lord. Jenna Maroney.
Yes, and apologies to everyone who's going to have that song stuck in their head for the next day and a half.
Well, is that or Werewolf Bar Mitzvah?
Ooh. All right, one more alternate reality Seinfeld girlfriend role per player. This one is for Drew. Her interest in magic went well beyond going with Jerry to a magic show. She wound up marrying a guy who hunted down occult creatures and having two boys who did the same.
Hunting occult creatures. Can I get a hint?
Samantha Smith on a 2005 TV series.
I guess I'm just proving that I know nothing about TV. Pass.
Amy knows this one?
Is this Supernatural?
It is Samantha Smith as the mom on Supernatural. Still for Drew, though, Samantha Smith is in the Seinfeld episode The Friars Club. In a 1958 Looney Tunes short, what character has the role of Friar Tuck?
Looney Tunes. I don't want to mess up my animated properties here. I'm going to guess Donald Duck.
You'd think Tuck and Duck. That would make sense. No, this is Porky Pig in their Robin Hood adaptation.
Also, for the record, Donald Duck's not part of Looney Tunes.
Oh, good.
Oh, right.
Rip me.
Next up to Amy. Even if Jerry kept on accusing her of kissing his cousin, she might have been better off dating him rather than marrying a chemistry teacher with some serious issues.
Is that Breaking Bad?
Yes, Anna Gunn, who played Skylar on Breaking Bad, also one of Jerry's girlfriends. She was on an episode called The Glasses. Who played the glasses-wearing reporter Stephen Glass in the movie Shattered Glass?
Oh, no. I have never seen this movie. Let's go with Ryan Reynolds.
In this case, this is an early 2000s role for Hayden Christensen. And then he went on to have a totally normal career that nobody ever had anything to say about.
No problems, no problems.
And we'll close out round two with Ross. I guess it's not too surprising that she didn't reveal her status as an alien coming to Earth to fight a witch to Jerry. After all, she thought he hit her car.
I'm gonna need a hint.
Starring Helen Slater in a 1984 movie.
Helen Slater, 1984 movie. Oh man, Starman.
Starman's a great guess because that was 84. In this case, though, we're talking about the movie of Supergirl. After the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, we got Supergirl.
Right.
Still for Ross, Helen Slater was in an episode called The Good Samaritan. The Samaritan is also the name of an AI mass surveillance system on what TV show?
Samaritan. Oh, man. And I'm picturing, I think... What the, this, is it Person of Interest?
Yes, Jonathan Nolan's Person of Interest. 10 more points for Ross to close out round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to the last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win fabulous prizes like the chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
A super spy now on a blacklist. From his groovy friend, he gets an assist. Of active cultures, he's a big fan. stuck in Newark in the original plan. But now in Florida, he has to persist.
Think you know the answer? Then check out usaquizshow.com/riddle to let us know what it is and put your name in the hat to win that prize. Then if you want to find the answer to that riddle, check us out on social media when we post it next week. That's at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Absolutely. Going into our final round of play, it's the King's score break. Have you ever wondered what Succession would be like if it was full of painfully earnest biblical references, starred Ian McShane, and aired on NBC in 2009? If so, watch King's. On the strength of a very impressive round two, Ross is taking the lead. He now has 120 points. Amy's close behind with 60. Drew is trailing with 25. Now, that means he'll need to get 10 correct answers in order to pull into first, but that is certainly doable. Drew, we believe in you.
Very doable, because anything can happen as we get into the lightning round. In this round, players have their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as they can. 10 points for each correct answer they can provide. Today's categories are Old Tucson, 8 Crazy Nights, The Pussycat Dolls, and Uno, Dos, Tres, Catorce. Now, those topics are not 100% clear, a little bit mysterious from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to be able to do the best on, or maybe you're going to want to strategically keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Drew, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Old Tucson, 8 Crazy Nights, The Pussycat Dolls, and Uno, Dos, Tres, Catorce.
Well, I'm going to go with 8 Crazy Nights, and I hope that it's about Adam Sandler.
You're right that it is Adam Sandler related, because, of course, he starred in the movie 8 Crazy Nights. But in this case, every answer in this round is going to be something that is mentioned in Adam Sandler's original Hanukkah song as performed on Saturday Night Live in 1994. So every answer will be somewhere in the lyrics to the original Hanukkah song. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Drew, are you ready?
Yes.
He plays Sonny Corleone in the Godfather franchise.
James Caan.
This fictional starship captain was born in Riverside, Iowa.
Pass.
Baby It's Cold Outside was a hit for her and Buddy Clark in 1949.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Dinah Shore. This video game villain is also called King Koopa.
Mushroom Man.
Bowser. If Kurt Russell is Santa, then she is Mrs. Claus.
Pass.
This group's name is taken from a series of syllables in the 1957 song Get a Job.
Pass.
Parts of Broadway Danny Rose were filmed at this eatery.
Sardi's?
The Carnegie Deli. This popular Christmas song was first released by Bobby Helms in 1957.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Jingle Bell Rock. On Happy Days, this character eventually became a school administrator.
Pass.
Guy Pearce had this lead role in the 2019 miniseries based on a Christmas classic. That is going to be the role of Ebenezer Scrooge in the 2019 miniseries based on A Christmas Carol. All right, Dan, let's hear the Drew report.
Absolutely. So let's go over the passes first. Captain Kirk was born in Riverside, Iowa, although it doesn't really come up on the series until you get to the reboots where he's in Iowa. But then there's like seems to be an ocean and cliffs around. I don't know where the hell in Iowa is supposed to be. Goldie Hawn plays Mrs. Claus in the Kurt Russell recent Netflix Christmas movies. The group's name that's taken from a series of syllables in the 1957 song Get a Job is Sha-na-na. And somehow Arthur Fonzarelli, aka the Fonz, winds up being a school administrator on Happy Days.
Hey.
Drew managed to get one question correct, gives him 35 points. Unfortunately, that is not enough for him to pull into first place. Amy's up next. She has 60 points, means she'll need to get 6 questions correct in order to tie for the lead, and 7 in order to pull into first.
All right, Amy. 3 category choices still left on the board. They are Old Tucson, The Pussycat Dolls, and Uno, Dos, Tres, Catorce.
I'm going to go with The Pussycat Dolls.
Do you have a guess as to what's coming at you in this round?
I have no idea. Is it cats in pop culture?
You are very, very close. It's not about the Nicole Scherzinger-led group, The Pussycat Dolls, but in fact about the dolls and toy versions of various pop culture cats.
Great.
90 seconds on the clock. Amy, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Dolls of this Jim Davis character that stuck on glass were popular in the 1980s.
Garfield.
The toy of this Simpsons character comes packaged with 2 cats.
Oh, what is that? Pass.
If you put armor on the toy of Cringer from this cartoon, he becomes Battle Cat.
Is that Thundercats?
He-Man. Toys from this 2021 Pixar movie include Machiavelli the Cat.
2021 Pixar... Soul?
Luca. Toys of this feline My Neighbor Totoro character have more than the usual number of legs.
Oh, no, pass.
Recent toys of this spacefaring superhero come packaged with Goose the Cat.
Goose the Cat. Oh, it's, oh, no. Oh, it's from... Oh, no. Captain Marvel?
In the live-action version of this anime, Space Cat Luna is mostly just a stuffed animal.
Pass.
Lots of toys feature the superheroic Cat Noir from a cartoon originating in this country.
France?
This mouthless cat from Sanrio debuted in 1974.
Mouthless cat. Nope, pass.
Gund makes an adorable beanbag version of Gigi from this Miyazaki film.
Spirited Away?
Gigi comes from Kiki's Delivery Service, voiced by Phil Hartman in the American dubbed version. All right, Dan, let's hear the Amy report.
Boy, we are really learning our players need to watch more Miyazaki. Folks, they're really good movies. You should watch all of them. The Simpsons character that comes packaged with 2 cats is Crazy Cat Lady, aka Dr. Eleanor Abernathy, MD-JD. The My Neighbor Totoro character has more than the usual number of legs is Cat Bus. The live-action version of Sailor Moon, aka Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon from 2003, has a yakety-yak cat from outer space, Luna, who is mostly just a stuffed animal that they kind of throw around. Now, you might not have noticed this before, but the character of Sanrio who doesn't have a mouth is Hello Kitty. She doesn't have a mouth. We don't know how she eats. It might be something from a Harlan Ellison novel. We're not quite sure. Amy got 3 correct answers. She now has 90 points. Unfortunately, not to put in a lead. Ross is in first place already, so he is playing just for the glory.
Ross, 2 chances to try to really rack up that score for personal gain. Your 2 category choices are Old Tucson and Uno, Dos, Tres, Catorce.
I'm going to go with Uno, Dos, Tres, Catorce, and I'm going to guess it's something to do with you two.
It is everything to do with you two. Of course, those are the opening shouts to their song Vertigo. So this is all about the band U2.
How many times has this category been in the mix and rejected? This is like 4 or 5, right?
Yeah, it's probably at least 3.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. Good on you,
Glad
Ross.
Glad I could help. Glad I could help.
90 seconds on the clock. Ross, are you ready?
Yes.
This U2 album shares its name with a U.S. national park.
The Joshua Tree.
Bono and the Edge wrote songs for a Broadway musical based on this character.
That would be Spider-Man.
The Edge eventually married the belly dancer for the music video for this U2 song.
Pass.
Ross Geller dedicates this U2 song to Rachel Green on the radio.
This is shameful, but I'm going to pass.
The Unforgettable Fire was the first U2 album produced by this Roxy Music member.
Brian Eno?
This U2 song was all over the TV coverage of the 2000 Summer Olympics.
Pass.
Adam Clayton plays this instrument in U2.
Bass.
They performed a 12-minute version of Bad at this 1985 charity event.
Live Aid.
This company put the 2014 album Songs of Innocence into people's music libraries without asking first.
Apple.
They were inducted into this Cleveland-based institution in their first year of eligibility.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Bono performed as this devilish character on the 1991 Zoo TV tour.
Pass.
Pride in the Name of Love features in the Elephant Love Medley in this 2001 movie musical.
Pass.
Their song Stay Far Away So Close was written for the sequel to this Wim Wenders film.
City of Angels.
City of Angels was the American remake of Wim Wenders' Wings of Desire. All right, Dan, let's hear the Ross Report and the final scores.
All right, so a few passes to go over. The U2 song with a belly dancer was Mysterious Ways. Ross Geller dedicated With or Without You to Rachel Green on the radio. The U2 song that was all over the coverage of the 2000 Summer Olympics was Beautiful Day. No, God, I have to say this name. Bono performed as Mac Fisto in the 1991 Zoo TV tour.
Oof.
Mac Fisto. I guess he's Scottish. I'd probably place that. And the Elephant Love Medley was, of course, from Moulin Rouge. Ross got 7 correct answers. That means our final scores are Drew with 35, Amy with 90, and our winner with 190 points. It's Ross.
Ross.
Woo-hoo!
Congratulations, Ross.
Good job, Ross.
Marching band music sounds so good.
Congratulations, Ross. But that does mean it is the end of the road here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show for Drew and Amy. Fantastic contestants. Please come back. This was a super fun time playing with you. In the meantime, though, listeners, you can know that Drew is a musician and is at Drew Bonner Music on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, all three of those places to hear some tunes from Drew. Ross is available on Twitter and Letterboxd, watching movies over there, at R. Bratton. And Amy would like you to check out the Rain for the Sahel and Sahara, creating livelihoods for folks in Niger. That's at rainforsahara.org. That's the numeral 4. And all the links to all those things are in your show notes in your podcasting app. And also, you can, of course, follow Ross as the sunglasses emoji over on our Season 7 bracket. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the first elimination match in the Vancouver Rehearsal Tapes division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
I hate feet.